You are listening to the Beard Brothers Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Four Beardsmen Sports Network. Hello there. Welcome to the Beard Brothers Fantasy Football Podcast, mini edition. I am Beard Brother Dylan.
And I'm Beard Brother AJ.
And we are here with our Fantasy My Guys for the 2020 season. We got no news for you on this episode. It's just going to be a little snippet one. Should be about 20, 25 minutes long. We're going to talk about our four My Guys, one at each position.
I made five from each position.
Yeah.
I got 20.
We're just going to talk about guys that whether it's a combination of where they're being drafted or just their overall talent. We're steering clear of like the top three guys at each position, of course. Projection wise, and
I shouldn't have Pat Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, Michael Thomas, and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, no,
fuck. I gotta redo my list.
In what world?
they'd be everybody's my guys. At that
you
point.
Could get. No, you couldn't get three of those. You could get three of those guys, potentially.
How?
If you take Christian McCaffrey 101, right?
Yeah.
You come around at the 212, Pat Mahomes, and somehow Kelsey's still there.
Yeah, that's if you
So
have,
you could get three of those
if
four.
If you have the first pick and you get to swing them.
Yeah, and you're saying you fucking fuck the wide receivers for now. we'll jump right in. We'll start with our quarterbacks. AJ, I'll let you go first on this one. I'll let you talk about your quarterback.
I went with what's right now projected as the 11th quarterback off the board.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that I've talked highly about is on my team, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I took Josh Allen as my quarterback, my guy.
Stephon Diggs is going to get him over that hump this year into the elite quarterbacks?
Maybe not the elite status yet.
But, like, top tier. Like, 86 overall rating in Madden?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think with the addition of well, partially, you know, Stephon Diggs, but also the addition of Zach Moss, you know, really kind of shaking things up in that backfield.
I think they just locked up Deion Dawkins as well, their offensive tackle, their left tackle, to, I believe, like a 5-year, $70 million deal, something like that. So he got paid, and he's been good. So, I you know, they have a very good offensive line there. So
And that's the thing, is like with Josh Allen, he's got good targets around him. Cole Beasley.
Dawson Knox coming into his second year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was it
John Brown?
Ross? John Brown.
John Ross plays for the Bengals.
Yeah, sorry. And then, you know, the addition of Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen was already a good quarterback, and he took the Bills to the playoffs for the first time in fucking who knows how long.
And rushing quarterbacks are motherfucking cheat codes.
Exactly. And he's got a good rushing floor. He's got opportunities for rushing touchdowns. So he is.
That's where Zach Moss scares me a little bit.
That he might take some of that away.
Yeah, not Devin Singletary, because Devin Singletary wasn't really a goal line back last year anyways. But Josh Allen was.
Yeah.
He was a goal line back. He's a quarterback, not a running back. But yes, he was still their goal line back. So one of them.
Hopefully he doesn't hit him too hard. How many? I forget. I just had it up too. Quarterbacks. Josh Allen, where are you at? Right there.
Are you pulling up his rushing numbers?
Yes. Because he had...
How many rushing touchdowns did he finish with last year?
He had 9. He had 8 the year before.
Yeah.
So
I think Zach Moss could pull that down to like 5 or 6 this year. But still.
Yeah. So he had 510 yards last year and 109 rushes. 89 rushes in 2018 with 631 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if he comes in,
that's like 30 rushing yards a game, by the way. If you're finishing at 500 yards, it's like 30 rushing yards a game. That's 3 extra points. Like, that can separate you.
Big time.
Yeah.
So.
Slap a WS.
I don't think he'll get the 9 touchdowns. I'm with you. He'll probably get like 5 or 6.
Upside of 7, I would say.
Yeah, he'll probably finish around the 550 mark in rushing yards. So I think combine that with, I mean, he's already got good passing. What do you have?
Solid pick. He's being drafted late enough that it's a value.
He only had 3,000 yards last year passing.
He was also hurt, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he bounces back a little bit this year. and stays right up top. Okay. I think he finished number 7 last year. I have it in my hand.
Somewhere around that. So, yeah, we want to talk about one quarterback who was injured for a little bit last year to another. This might surprise some people. I'm going with Matt Stafford as my quarterback, my guy this year. I just think the statistical pace that he was on last year, the good enough offensive line that they have, they added a rushing attack with DeAndre Swift. Hopefully it's improved. I still think it'll probably be around middle of the pack as opposed to like low end. But weapons in Kenny Galladay, TJ Hockenson in his second year, Marvin Jones, and Danny Amendola running out of the slot. That's a very good plethora of weapons to have. Amendola
hasn't been great lately, but he's serviceable.
And Stafford played in 8 games, right? He got hurt in that 8th game. Overall, he was on pace for just a smidge under 5,000 yards, which was on pace with Dak and Jameis Winston,
yep,
and 38 touchdowns. Finished the season with 2,499, so he was on pace for fucking 4,998 yards.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, he had 19 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's... Even if he regressed from that a little bit, which was bound to happen, because he was on fucking fire. He was like the quarterback 3 or 4 when he got hurt. Or I think it might have been 5, but still.
Yeah, he was up there.
If you're drafting him at quarterback, I believe 13 right now, yes, in the 10th round, around Cam Newton, I think he could be enough of a difference maker week to week to the point where he helps you win a championship. So that's why I'm picking him as my guy. And I just think he's a great value, and I love where he's going in drafts right now. So I personally don't like him as a person because he was a dick and snubbed me on a signature way back when. But still, he is my fantasy my guy this year. So we'll snake it, and we'll talk about running backs here. I want to talk about my fantasy running back my guy, and that's Kareem Hunt. He is being drafted in PPR leagues as the running back 27, right? Just behind Raheem Mostert. I would rather have Raheem Mostert on my team. But I think he's going to have enough standalone value to the point where he's for sure finishing as a running back 2. Like, so if you're drafting him at 27 and he finishes at running back 20. Just
his passing game alone.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's going to take a lot from Chubb.
So let me see here. I'm going to pull up his stats because I forgot to have those like at the ready. Kareem Hunt. Try to roll my R's. I'm not very good at it. Game log.
See, this is a mini episode. We can be a little more off top, off things.
Off the cuff.
A little more unprofessional, if you will.
Let's see here. 2019. Okay. So his snap percentage was above 50%. Yeah. He's running routes out of the slot in camp right now. He's playing slot receiver. He's running with 3 wide receiver sets. So that's Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt.
And Odell.
And Austin Hooper. Yeah. I said Beckham.
Did you?
Chubb. Yeah. So Chubb, Landry, Hooper, Kareem, and Odell are all out on the field at the same time. But his snap percentage went up throughout the end of last season. But here's his finishes. 14, 11, 11, 17, 14, 15, and then 8 and 6. So he kind of trailed off there at the end of the season. But that stretch of not scoring less than almost 12 points, I think he could have that kind of consistency for your team this year. And you're drafting him, I believe, in the 6th round, I said? 5th round. So he's going to be your 3rd running back at that point. I love that.
And those numbers for your 3rd running back, you're not mad at.
Or even if he ends up as your 2nd running back, which I know is scary, super scary, I think you'll be fine. If you end up with 3 top-tier receivers in, from rounds 2 to 4, like, awesome. You get your top-tier running back in round 1, you get 3 badass receivers from, you know, like we talked about, rounds 2 to 6 are killer for wide receivers mm-hmm. this year. And then get Kareem. I love it. I think he'll be a difference maker. And he has the added benefit where, you know, Chubb's going through concussion protocol right now. So if he's a top-tier running back if he is the starter, if Chubb goes down. So I just think overall he'll be enough of a difference maker to help you.
Quit talking about Chubb going down, because if that should happen, it'll be salty as fuck.
I will it. So yeah, I just think overall he'll help people's teams, especially with where he's being drafted. And we've seen him as a top tier running back when he was in Kansas City, and he had some questionable off the field stuff. But I just think overall, man, talent wise, he's right up there with Chubb. So mm-hmm. I think he can be a difference maker, especially if he gets those added targets from running routes as a receiver, man. Killer.
Dangerous.
Yep.
So I went a little, you know, earlier in the draft with my guy, but I'm basing on the fact that we only saw half a season, I think less than half a season out of him. Mm. I went with Kenyon Drake.
Understandable.
He's the 11th running back off the board right now.
Whew.
He's going 202 in the drafts.
Yep.
So it is a bit higher comparatively to where you got Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pay a bit more. But he was putting up such solid fucking numbers up at the back half of that season. I just pulled a U and forgot to bring him up while you were talking. Where are you at, Kenyon? There it is. Game log, 2019. So, when did he actually go to... He played 14 games in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he...
They traded him super early on.
I didn't think it was that early. So, week three on. So, he didn't do a whole lot in the beginning, but I don't really think they played him in the beginning.
Well, yeah, that, and he just got traded to the team. He didn't get a camp with them. He didn't get any of that stuff. And also David Johnson and Chase Edmonds were still there.
Yeah. So with that going on, we'll start at week 9 when he really started playing more.
Coming into his own.
Yeah. Week 9 against San Francisco, 28. 10, 14, and then bye week. And then against the Rams in Pittsburgh, he went 7 to 9. And then to finish the season, he went 39-33-17.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a couple down games, but they were up against better defenses.
They also brought back David Johnson. David Johnson was like fully recovered after that.
Yeah, and so there's no David Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Edmonds still has the possibility of stealing some things away from him because he is a fantastic running back.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can keep that consistency up, you know, he got out of Miami, he got here, and really kind of started turning things on.
Mm-hmm.
If he keeps that fucking end of the season consistency, I think he finishes in the top 10. Actually, I'd say he finishes top 8.
Okay. Understandable. And I mean, that's not that big of a boost. If I were you and I was calling my shot, I would say like top 6. Just because going at running back 11... Moving going up to like to, yeah, running say, back 8.
I'll go there then. We'll okay. go top 6.
All right, so that'll move you on to your wide receiver, sir.
My wide receiver. Where? Let me find him in here real quick so I have his stats available at the same time. Beep. My wide receiver is a guy that, if you've listened recently, you've heard I've become pretty high on.
Mm.
I don't think you're as high on him as I am with, you know, Julio still being there.
Yes.
But my wide receiver, my guy, is Calvin Ridley. He's going in the 4th. He's the 16th receiver off the board. He's got some guys around him that you and I both want,
mm-hmm.
but I think I would actually take Calvin Ridley. I think there's a lot of upside there. And I think with Julio aging, he's got 1 to 2 more years left in him. And then I think it's the Calvin Ridley show.
Yeah, because Calvin Ridley's what, 25?
Let me go back to his stats. He is 25.
Okay. But he's had double-digit touchdowns, I believe, in both of his first 2 years.
A career for him.
He's got touchdown upside.
He had 7 last year, 10 the year before.
Okay, so yeah, not double digits, but he's got touchdown upside to him.
Yes. So he finished with 866 last year, 821 the year before. He's going in the right direction.
Take it or toss it. 1,100 yards.
Taking it.
Okay.
I'm taking it.
I could have said 1,800 and you would have been like, take it.
No, I wouldn't have gone that high. I think he finishes just over like 1,105.
Okay.
But I think with Julio I mean, he it's fucking Julio. He's going to get the target. He's going to finish probably somewhere around 12.
I look very forward to when Julio Jones gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You and me both.
I love that man.
Fucking Trick Montalavan.
Yeah.
I think this is Calvin Ridley's breakout year.
Okay.
Where he gets, you know, over 1,000. I'll say he finishes 1,100, at least 1,100 yards and probably 11 touchdowns.
Okay. So you're planting your flag on Calvin Ridley. I'm planting my flag
on Michael Thomas.
DJ Chark. I feel it, man. There's blood in the water. Jaws reference, insert there. DJ Chark, I'm doing the dance, man. He could be your third fucking wide receiver on your team. He's being drafted at the 502 right now, and that is a goddamn steal. So, let me pull some stuff up here for you real quick. My big thing is, so, like, you got your guys like your Tyreek Hills, your Hollywood Browns, guys that can give you your deep shot, right? Mm-hmm. They could get a 70-yard touchdown bomb. DJ Chark is one of those guys as well, and he's also the number one who in targets. So overall, he could be a PPR machine and he could be a big play machine. And not to mention the fact that, yeah, their offensive line isn't great, but Gardner Minshew's one of the better.
He's a fantastic scrambler.
Well, he's one of the more accurate deep ball throwers too. So I forget what the percentage was, but it was over 50% on his deep balls of catchable balls. So he showed that connection both with Nick Foles and with Gardner Minshew, that they can trust him downfield and he can make plays. So I just think overall, with especially with where he's being drafted,
who do they have around him?
Yeah. I mean, they brought in LaVisca Chenault. They still have
you and I were high on
Chris Conley, who I think is a good talent at wide receiver, but it's just, he is the clear cut number one target in that offense. And I have them projected to do really poorly this year. They're going to be down in a lot of games, and they're going to be slinging it and seeing what they can get out of Gardner Minshew and decide whether they want to go with him as their quarterback of the future, or, you know, they're going to give him that opportunity.
Yeah.
So they're going to let him fucking sling it this year, I think. That, and they're going to just overall, you know, in the first half of games, ride Leonard Fournette into the ground.
Pretty fucking.
And then
much.
When they're down by 3 scores, they're going to be chucking it everywhere. So. Just overall, man, I absolutely love DJ Chark. I love his talent. I love his draft position and everything. I think he could be a difference maker in leagues this year. So, that being said, I'm going to say damn near the same thing about my guy at tight end, Jonnu Smith. If you listen to the show, you know it. Big fucking surprise.
Yeah, and I was a little salty that you took him before I could. But you're much higher on him than I am.
He should be my guy. Yeah. Like, I've been pulling that fucking 18-wheeler horn all offseason. He is 25. That is, like, the peak breakout year for tight ends. Delanie Walker's gone. A.J. Brown is their number one wide receiver. But he doesn't get a lot of targets. He's a down-the-field threat. He, you know, had, I think, 60 receptions last year, if that. And, like, yeah, he had, like, over 900 yards on just 60 receptions. I think it might have even been in the 50s. But, yeah, I just think Jonnu Smith, he showed out at the end of the year once Delanie Walker was fully gone and out of that system. They paid Ryan Tannehill big money to be their quarterback of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somewhat future, because he is 31, so I don't think he's...
their quarterback for the near future.
He's not their next quarterback. He's not their quarterback for the next 15 years. He's their quarterback for the next 5 years. Yeah. So. Sorry. Just getting a little tidbit here from Sleeper about Breshad Perriman.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Breshad Perriman. Sorry. But yeah, I think his spark score, he's like a 97th percentile athlete. He can fucking jump with the best of them. He can run with the best of them. He can catch with the best of them. And he's got a super wide, catch radius. I think he's going to be a big end zone threat. It would not surprise me if he had double digit touchdowns this year. Would not.
I can see it.
Yeah. Cause there's going to be stacked boxes against Derrick Henry. And yeah, a lot of the time they're not going to be able to stop him. But, I think low side 7-8 touchdowns for Jonnu. So that makes at least, you know, if they all come in separate weeks, that's minimum 6 weeks that he's going to be startable. But overall, man, I'm super high on him. I think he could finish as a top 6 tight end this year. And that would not surprise me. So
part of me wants to say top five, but I think the safe bet would be top six.
Yeah, not even safe. I think this is me just planting my flag on one player that I absolutely love. And he even did it throughout the playoffs too, which of course isn't fantasy relevant, but it shows that connection that he has, that he can get in the end zone and make some sick ass body adjustment. Yeah. Go the fuck up and get it catches. And
not to mention all the offseason work that him and Ryan Tannehill were doing mm-hmm. together.
So I just think overall, he's going to be the second most trusted target. I think Adam Humphries could end up getting more targets than him just because he's a slot receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think he's their number one go-to in the red zone. And of course, outside of Derrick Henry, just running it in. But I think he's got that upside this year, man. And he's going late enough, late in drafts, that I absolutely adore it.
He's going he's the 17th tight end at 1309.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd rather have him than, Austin Hooper's going in the 12th. Noah Fant's going in the 11th. Jared Cook's going in the 10th. I'd rather have him than all of those guys. So calling it now, I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be. So
I don't think you're going to be either.
And then I'll let AJ wrap it up here.
Mine is a guy going two spots before yours,
mm-hmm.
Who really came alive. Another guy who came alive in the back half of the season.
Oh, me so horny.
Out of the Miami Dolphins team, I went with Mike Gesicki. Mm-hmm. It was really tough because I wanted to go Gesicki. I wanted to go with him. I really think there's potential there with Hayden Hurst or Blake Jarwin is another guy I'm really high on as well. But I think the opportunity, especially with Devontae Parker and Preston Williams are both with some knee issues right now.
Well, Preston Williams is coming off of a knee issue a year ago. Like, he tore his ACL, which sucks, but
yeah.
I think Devontae Parker's going to fall down quite a bit this year.
Yeah,
I just really do.
So last in 2018 to 2019, Gesicki really showed some big, big progression.
Yeah. And he's not super agile, but he has that like kind of Kittle-esque punishing run style. After he catches the ball, man, he can get some extra yards.
He's 6'6", 250. He's a big boy.
Yeah. I mean, most tight ends are, but that's impressive.
So, I mean, in the back half, we'll go, because he started off real slow from week 9.
He also had Josh Rosen games that you could throw out.
That's okay. We'll count that the first half of the season. Week 9 on. So, week 9, 15, then he had 3 and 5, then 11, 18, 1, 8, 26.
But at the tight end position, you're going to get those games, man. Yeah. It's going to happen. When you're not taking Kittle, Kelce, Andrews, like, you're going to get those games. It's going to happen. Even to them, it happens sometimes. So.
Yeah, so he even, and then against week 16, 26 points, week 17, 13. And he put up that 13 against New England's defense.
Yes.
So.
I believe was, like, number one against tight ends all year.
They were number one overall.
Yeah.
So, I don't see Gesicki going as high in the rankings as Janu. I think top 10 for Gesicki.
I think Gesicki will have a safer floor than Janu. I think he does have a safer floor than Janu. I think he could be more consistent throughout the year, but I think Janu has like those big, like,
he's gonna have those week winning games.
Yeah, games where he goes off for like 6 catches and like 67 yards and 2 touchdowns, and it's like, holy shit, he just scored me 25 points. Exactly. Like, fuck. So yeah, that'll do it for us, guys, man. We wanted to keep it short and concise, but we did want to get our My Guys out there. I know mostly fantasy guys just keep 2 My Guys per person, but we're a 2-man show, so I wanted to get 1 at each position.
Yeah, and plus we're way cooler than they are.
Yeah, so, and we got more shots we wanted to take. And as the great Wayne Gretzky once said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, so.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Wayne Gretzky.
So yeah, all right, guys, thank you for the support, we love you. Check out our socials at Beard Brothers Fantasy Football, or at Beard Brothers FF on Twitter.
There you go.
And then Beard Brothers Fantasy Football everywhere else. Give us a follow, subscribe, leave a review if you enjoy the show, and we will see you guys next time.
Goodbye.